Welcome to today's episode of the Life with Impact podcast. Today's a very special and slightly sad day, bittersweet, as this is the last episode of this really special series, the Powerful Parenting series. Nicole, how are you feeling?
Oh, gee. I'm very conflicted. I'm so glad that we've been able to be on this 8-week journey, but at the same time, I have no idea what I'm going to do. I'm going to feel so lost not being able to share this journey with you and with the listeners. It's going to be difficult, I must say.
Yeah, well, we'll have to just re-listen and relive these amazing conversations. But we've had such a good time and such good conversation, and I love that it's a conversation, not a preach session, but a conversation with tools and encouragement in between. Now, if you are confused and you don't know what the Powerful Parenting series is all about, we have been running this for the last 8 weeks. We have been doing an episode a week and really just talking about how we can be empowered as parents. And so talking about how we can build meaningful connections with our kids, how we can really create safe spaces for them, how we can take care of ourselves. And last week we spoke about how we can build resilience in our children. And so we're going to continue a bit of that conversation. But before we do that, I just want to introduce Nicole Daniel, our guest expert, for one last time on this series. So Nicole is a clinical social worker. She's the founder of You Matter Therapeutic Support, and she is just such a lovely lady, a mom herself, and so passionate about helping parents. And so, Nicole, thank you so much for all the time that you've given to us here at Impact. And I love that this content stays on forever, lives on forever on our YouTube channel, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all of those places where you can get your podcasts. So thank you for sharing this content and helping parents be equipped. Now, the other thing I wanted to mention is that Nicole's going to be running a course for parents very soon. And so if you want to hear more about that, you can actually find out more by commenting on the podcast or the video, or you can actually WhatsApp us at Impact 071-364-0376. And then we will send you all the info for this course. So if you want to meet the lady in person and actually just have a good time with other parents discussing this, why don't you send us a message? We would love to invite you to be there. Now, back to today's conversation. We are talking about how we can get through the storm. Now, last week was all about resilience, building resilience, and helping our children persevere through hard things. Nicole, please share what you're sharing about today as we now follow up from last week's conversation.
That's perfect. Thank you so much, Charlene. So when we look at the topic for today, through the storm, it's really just about building on that aspect of resilience that we spoke about last week and understanding that we cannot take the pains and the difficulties and the trials and tribulations that our children are going to face. We cannot take them away. Mm. And so what we want to do is we want to really equip our children to be able to weather the storm, but also understand that for us as parents, sometimes we face storms. Sometimes our children face storms, and we need to be able to best equip ourselves to be able to navigate through that. Mm. You know, there's such an amazing quote that says, you know, our children need the most love when they are seen to be the most unlovable.
Wow.
And it's so difficult because we do, whether they are through those, you know, in our home, we never believed in the terrible twos, but you know, when they go through those different developmental phases, or they're going into their teen years, or they're just going through stuff, you know, sometimes their behavior, and that's the best way they can communicate, becomes so difficult. And you know, it's so tough for us as parents because unfortunately, those are the times that we have to be the most strong, the most dedicated, the most determined, because that's when they need our love the most.
Yeah, it's so true, because it is frustrating as a parent, especially when you don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with this child. You know, that's often like what you might complain about. Mm. But that is when they need love and connection more. That's when they need to know that they're safe, that no matter what, that they are loved and that they will be cared for and valued. Mm. So how can we support our children when they're going through this kind of challenging time?
Yes. So, you know, one of the things that we need to do is also be aware of our space and be aware of the space that they're in. So that mindfulness, that being in the here and the now is so important, because it's so easy to get lost and swept away from the aspect of, you know, their stress and our stress. And sometimes life can just be chaotic. And we need to slow down for a moment just to be present. Yeah. So we need to do that. We need to understand that meeting our basic needs cannot go unnoticed. You know, so often, you know, and I see it when I'm working with teachers as well, meeting basic needs is last on the list of priorities. And that cannot be like that. It cannot be like that as a parent. You know, are we eating regularly? Are we staying hydrated? Are we sleeping?
Yeah.
Because it's so important for us to remember that meeting our basic needs is of paramount importance when we are actually needing to regulate our emotions or navigate the storms. And we can only do that if we are primarily meeting our basic needs.
Mm.
You know, so those things are so important. And, you know, to have that opportunity to meet them where they are, not to think they shouldn't be like this, they shouldn't be behaving a certain way, or they should know better.
Mm.
Because in that very moment, what they're going through is real for them.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be real in that moment.
Yeah.
You know, obviously understanding that aspect of, we need to make sure that they feel seen, they feel heard, they feel understood. You know, we need to be able to be engaged with our children and communicate with them, be open to communication. You know, sometimes our children go through these difficult things that for them feel like it's catastrophic. And for us, it doesn't always make sense, because we think, well, surely it's not that bad. But we need to meet them where they are and understand that for them it is difficult.
Yeah.
And I think the moment we create that channel of communication of, you can come to me no matter what. And, you know, even if it comes down to, you know, Olivia and I have now started, and I think I mentioned it in a previous episode, having a safe word, that because I'm very aware that I have big feelings, I want to be able to communicate a sense of calm. And so when they're going through whatever trial, whatever storm they're facing, sometimes we need to have a safe word with our child and say, if you are going to talk to me about something that you know, maybe preempt that I'm going to have a big feeling about, maybe we can say, I need 5 minutes. Or we need to talk, or whatever it is, that key phrase or that key word that we know, we need to regulate. Mm. Okay, I'm here. Now I can engage with my child in a way that will be open and responsive towards her needs. Mm. But we need to constantly communicate that and give them that sense that they are loved.
Yeah, it's so important. I think the idea of communication came through a lot in this series, and so important. There isn't a quick fix for this. There isn't one thing that you can say to just sort everything out. Parenting, I have realized the hard way, looks like a lot of talking, lot of talking to your kids, a lot of communication, a lot of repetition, repeating instructions until they learn. Mm. And I think it's so important to lead them gently in that.
Yeah.
And I loved what you said. For them, it's catastrophic. It's the hardest thing that they have gone through. Mm-hmm. It's not about you in that moment and what do you think is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very harmful to say, oh, like, this isn't a big thing.
Yes.
I have so much that I'm trying to do, mm-hmm. and now you're bothering me with this or whatever. Even your body language could be communicating that. It's
Absolutely. So
important
mm-hmm.
to not diminish what they're feeling. How can we show our kids love practically?
Yes.
In these hard times, even when it's hard for us.
Absolutely. You know, Gary Chapman speaks so beautifully about the 5 love languages. And I think I almost want to take, put a limb out there and say there's nothing more important than communicating love to our children, love and acceptance. And so what we really want to strive to do is fill our children's love languages, fill their love tanks.
Mm.
You know, when they feel whole, when they feel connected to, things just are easier to navigate, easier and smoother to work through.
Mm.
And so whether they're going through a storm or not, we have to make sure as best as we can as parents, and again, we're not going to get it right all the time, but we need to try and work towards letting them feel whole and feeling full. And so what we want to try and do is when we look at those five love languages, which is obviously your physical touch, your words of affirmation, your quality time, your gifts, and your acts of service. When we look at those five aspects, it's not about, you know, especially with children, it's not about thinking, okay, what is my child's love language? Because often they actually need to feel loved in all five areas.
Yeah.
And so there will be one or two things that stand out for your child specifically. And so you want to hone in on that and still be mindful of the other love languages. And so what I encourage, I mean, even, you know, working in a school environment, I encourage teachers as well that when you're facing your children to see what can you do to fill their tanks first thing in the morning when they're lining up before they enter your class. Do you need a hug? Do you need a high five? Do you need a wave? Really just about sending that message of, I see you and I'm here for you. And we want to do this with our own kids. And so I would encourage parents that find, you know, those certain things that really seem to really touch your child's heart. Make sure that you're giving those aspects attention and make sure that you're filling the other love languages. So for example, like with Olivia, you know, and I've always said that I'm very much, you know, what you see is what you get. And I want to make sure that when I do the work that I do, I'm real, because parenting is tough. And, you know, we don't all have the answers. But what I try and do with Olivia, I know that she loves physical touch. I know she absolutely absorbs every moment of it. So in the morning, what I try, and we don't always get it right, but what we try and do is in the morning, because I know that fills her love language and that's her tank being filled, is I will do my best that in the morning I will give her a cuddle and have some snuggle time with her, knowing that if I'm going to get her out of bed and rush, it's just going to actually throw her off and make the whole morning more difficult for all of us. So what I try to do is see, okay, if this is how I know what fills her tank, I'm going to try and see that first thing in the morning, that's what I'm doing to try and get her so that when she starts her day, she knows already on the foot, when she steps out of her bed, she knows I am loved, I'm seen, I'm heard, I have a space of belonging in my home. So that when we go through times of storm, it's not as though she's running on an empty tank either.
Yes, no, I've heard that said about marriage by someone saying you build your marriage when things are good, so that it's strong for when things are hard. And I love that. And I think that applies to our parenting relationships as well, that let's not wait for things to be a crisis before we step in and try to fix things with our kids. Let's just have a habit and a culture in our home of valuing one another. And I think that's something I just wanted to remind us of. That has also come up is to create margin. If you are too busy to make time for your kids, you need to say no to something. You need to, that's just, it just is what it is. Like I've realized I cannot parent well and still show up for everything else. That's just me, but I know that I need to be there in the afternoons and really be there. So I have to find a way to work till 2 o'clock every day, that kind of thing. So we need to just find a ways to create margin in our lives so that it can actually just happen. In our space. I'm curious, when you gave the example about the love languages, I was thinking, okay, what about the parents with a teenager? Maybe you can give us a practical example of how a parent with a teenager could also fill the teenager's love tank even when they want space and don't want anything to do with their parents.
I'm so glad you asked that question, Charlene. I've had such an amazing journey this last stretch with teenagers and really understanding that what do they see as quality time? And it actually is mind-blowing that they really just want time. So even though we know that every person has a specific love language, for a teenager, just time spent, interest spent in what they are interested in is so important for them. They feel loved when their parents actually want to spend time with them. That is not the teenager, you know, reaching out and saying, can we do this or can we do that? Because the chances of that happening is quite unlikely. But what we want to do with our teens is really create that time for connection, letting them know that no matter what they're going through, because remember, when they're going through this adolescence phase, their life is on fire. They are trying to take everything that they've learned in childhood, figure out what works for them, what doesn't, to prepare them for adulthood. And, you know, there's such an amazing thing called the Hanging Bridge of Transformation, that if we've really invested in our kids when they're younger, when they go on this transformation bridge from childhood to adulthood, we don't get the opportunity to be on that bridge. We want to build such a strong relationship with our kids that when they get on that bridge, they're actually inviting us on.
Yeah.
It's not what we deserve to have. It's a privilege to be on that bridge with them.
Yes.
And when they feel it's time to step back, they want to continue the journey on their own, we respectfully move away. But the key is just being interested in their lives, because that's not happening. We just see, you know, our teenager is withdrawing and they just want to spend time in their room. They are going to have moments of isolation. Absolutely. That's just how they're trying to make sense of everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, just to recap on our emotional chat that we had, their limbic system is on fire at the moment. It is actually just being further developed. So they're thinking, everything feeling. So everything feels so much worse than what they might be experiencing it or what we might perceive it to be.
Yeah.
But what we really want to do is make sure with our teens we communicate, I see you, I'm here for you, let's just hang out. So no screens. We need to make time where there's no screens.
Yeah.
So make your teen their favorite drink and say, I just want to hang out with you.
Yeah.
So I'm going to make us some hot chocolate or whatever it is, or I'm going to make us a cup of tea or get a glass of water, whatever it is. You say, I just want to spend time with you. We don't even need to talk.
Yeah.
And you need to make the conscious effort to sit there with your teen and just be with them.
Yes.
Find out what are their interests. What are they enjoying at the moment? What have they noticed? What are some of the social media trends that are happening?
Yeah.
You know, because what's real for them needs to be given light.
Yeah. It's so good. Don't diminish what they're interested in.
Yes.
That's often something that I see people do as teenagers. It's like, oh, that's so lame. Like, that's just silly. What a, you know, what a weird obsession. I just think teenagers get such a bad reputation for having, you know, weird interests. Mm-hmm. Or that's so silly or stupid. But let's actually, let's validate them. Obviously not validate bad behavior. That's not what we're saying. But just also let them know that they're loved and they're safe. And I think it is a misconception that teenagers just want to be left alone.
Yeah,
but maybe it's just that they don't want to always be on the chopping block. Maybe sometimes they just want to be seen for who they are without being in the spotlight of, okay, this is what you need to fix in your life or whatever. Thank you for speaking into that space, because we need more conversations around parents and teenagers. But as we close off the series and this conversation about weathering the storm as parents with children, what are other things we can look out for, and just final thoughts on this topic?
I think just giving them space to exist is so important. You know, every child is different. You can have multiple children in the same home and they can be vastly different. You know, and I think we need to give children the space and the recognition that this is where they're at. Irrespective of where they are in their developmental phases, we need to just allow them to be. Because, you know, so often we think that it is our job to shape these humans into, you know, sustainable adults and that. But we actually, at the core of it, we need to understand that there is a God who has created them for a very specific purpose. And it's not our job to design that or to negotiate that. You know, God has given us the opportunity, and it's such a powerful thought that God has given us the opportunity to give us our kids on loan. They are not with us forever. We have a very small window just to be with them. And so the impact that we can have on our children's lives can be far-reaching, but it's a window that we need to act on, you know, to be able to establish those relationships.
Yeah.
Roy Bennett has such a wonderful quote of, you know, what we focus on will grow. And that's exactly it. Whatever we, you know, our words do have power, and whatever we are going to feed into our children's lives, whatever we're going to believe about them is going to manifest.
Yeah.
Whether we feel that our children are, you know, I am very, very sensitive, for lack of a better word right now, but very sensitive with words. So, you know, it's the same with my daughter. when people first meet her, they will say she's shy.
Mm.
Like, no, you really don't know. She's not shy at all. Yeah. She's just figuring you out. Because that's the language we want to create. Mm. So it's the same as, this is my difficult child, or this is my shy child, or this is, you know, so-and-so has these challenges and so-and-so is so difficult at the moment.
Mm.
So I spoke earlier about us, you know, in our family, we never had the terrible twos because I was adamant that I'm not going to allow that whole concept of terrible twos to exist in my home.
Yeah.
Because no, she's just trying to make sense of her world. She's, you know, figuring out her boundaries, her independence. And so whenever there was a behavior that was happening in our home with Olivia, we would just say, it's okay. She's just trying to figure things out.
Mm.
And it puts so little pressure on the dynamics, on the relationship, on the person, to just see them with a different light.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, when we look at the storms and we look at just our relationship with our kids, we have to be aware of how we're speaking to our kids. Mm. What are we, when they are not there, what are we actually calling them? Mm. How are we speaking about our children? Mm. Because even if they don't hear that, when we are in contact with them, they feel that strife.
And Nicole, we were speaking about that actually just in a personal conversation, but how unhelpful these labels are.
Yes.
I'm a life coach who deals with adults who are quite stuck in life. And I promise that it's very often because of labels given to children that they've carried into adulthood.
Yes.
Like, you never finish what you start, or you are the shy one. Because when people have a label, they hold on to it and they believe that this is who I am. And so I'm going to lean into this role or this identity that has been created for me. And it's very limiting for someone and usually not helpful at all. And so I think that is so key what you're saying. Let us not put things on our children.
Yes.
Let us rather give them the space to figure out who they are. Within boundaries.
Yes, of
course. So we're not saying your kid can hit and go crazy.
Yes.
There are boundaries. But let's be honest. Often when we try to discipline, it's often behavior controlling. It's, I don't want you to be out of control right now because I don't like this. And so I realize that as a mom, I do that often. It's like, stop being so loud. Why? Like, they're not actually doing anything wrong. They're just playing. They're wrestling with one another or whatever. So let us also just really be honest with ourselves about what is just behavior modification, what is actual boundaries, and where are we giving them space to be.
Yeah, and there's a time and a place for everything, you know. Because, you know, there are times where they are going to be noisier or louder.
Yeah.
And there's times where, you know, our capacity might not be able to receive that so well. And we say, today, or for this moment, can we have a quieter voice because this is really difficult?
Yeah.
Because what we're doing is we're teaching them empathy.
Exactly, yeah.
But really, that's why I say, you know, our children, there's again another quote that says that our children spell love, T-I-M-E. And that is honestly what it comes down to. Whether your child's love language is quality time or not, they all need time.
Yeah.
And if we have, you know, created these people, I always say that you are here because your parents chose for you to be here. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
You know, knowing and giving them the space that this is your, no matter how old they are, I'll call them your little person. But this is your little person that you have chosen to be here.
Mm.
Love them where they're at, but love them so much that you want them to grow.
Yes.
And I think that's so important because we're not giving our kids always the space to have those bad days. We expect them to, you know, have their things together, when in reality that's impossible.
Mm.
You know, even as adults that's difficult.
Yeah.
And our children are only learning, and we can only model, you know, as best as we can to give them the opportunity to figure life out. And to know that your child's going to mess up.
Mm.
Your child's going to mess up. You're going to mess up. And that's okay. Because we are imperfect people raising imperfect people.
Yes.
So we cannot expect them to live up to a certain standard, live up to a certain expectation that doesn't allow them to just develop into who they are. And we spoke about it in a previous episode. We have to allow that boredom. We have to allow them the opportunity to figure things out, figure out their limits, and make sure you understand that your boundary is very clear. That, you know, because my daughter's quite strong-willed, so I say quite strong, she's strong-willed. So I can't, you know, play it down with saying quiet. Yeah. But I know that that means that I will allow a certain level of pushback, because when she's older, I'm going to want her to fight the things that she doesn't agree on.
Yes.
I want her to have an opinion. So I cannot, you know, create such a structure because I'm strong-willed and then say you have to live within this boundary, end of discussion.
Yes.
Because what on earth am I then setting up for later in life?
Mm.
And I think we need to give our children the opportunity to be who they are, be who they can be created to be, who, you know, what their purpose, we will never know what their purpose is because, I mean, their purpose, their ability is beyond our wildest dreams.
Mm.
And we have to give our children the opportunity to flourish no matter what, and to know that when they face things, they come home, this is your home. This is where you belong no matter what.
Mm.
That I love you no matter what, and we figure things out together.
Yeah. I think also as we close, and you can share final thoughts if you have in a moment, but I just want to remind you to pray for your kids.
Yeah.
It's something I forget to do too often. And I know, like, maybe our generation of parents, but I know my dad prays for us every single night, and he has for the last however many years.
Mm.
And I mean, since I was born and longer for my sisters. But I think I've seen this even in my marriage where I felt I don't know how to solve this problem. I just went to God and prayed. And then my husband would come back to me and say, hey, God showed me this with those exact words. Now, it might not play out the same way with our kids, but there is power in prayer. There's power in just going and humbling ourselves before God and submitting. And it's also about changing our heart attitude from, I've got the answers and I must turn my children into decent humans, to, God, help me, come alongside me, Holy Spirit, lead me as I embark on this challenge to be a parent, not just have a child, because anyone can have a child, but to actually be a parent, to parent this child in the best way, to be a faithful steward of this life that I've been given to steward. Nicole, any final thoughts as we wrap up the series? And please, again, go listen back because there are many great conversations. But any final things you want to share?
Yeah, I think My message would just be for parents to know that they have been chosen, they have been set apart, you know, to be their child's parent.
Yes.
And I want, as a parent, I want you to know that. I want you to know that you are doing the best you can with what you have at this time.
Yeah.
And maybe as you learn new skills, that will change. I just want the parents to know that they've got this, that parenting isn't an easy journey. It is really an adventurous journey, but one that they are more than capable of navigating through.
Yeah, no, it's so important. Nicole, thank you so much for everything that you've just poured out into the series, all your preparation, all your expertise. I know that it comes with a cost to time and all of that, but I know that you do it so willingly. I was actually just trying to find a scripture quick as we end off, and this is something, it was a few years ago, just after my second child was born, and I remember being so overwhelmed, having two kids, a two-year-old and a newborn, and feeling in over my head. And I remember someone sharing this psalm with me, and it just spoke to me. It was almost like it was written for a mom specifically. But I want to end off with this. So it says it's Psalm 16, and I'll read from verse 5. It says, Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. even at night, that's for parents, even at night, my heart instructs me. Even if you're in the middle of the night with a small child and you don't know what to do, you don't know why they're crying, you don't know why they're upset, even at night, my heart instructs me. Even at night, the Holy Spirit is there for me. I will keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You will make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. And that is my prayer for you as parents, that you would know that he's with you, and that even when you're in the thick of it, he carries you. Nicole, thank you so much. Friends, if you want to go and listen to the previous episodes, please go. This was number 8, so there are 8 episodes, 8 conversations that we've had. And so go from the start and go listen to it again if you have already listened to it. It's always a good refresher. Nicole, thank you.
Thank you so much, Charlene.